Not the time. Sweat poured down Chase's face. I winced. Sorry, been there, lived through that. As carefully as I could, I pushed against the skin surrounding the wound. Yeah, it's lodged in there pretty good. From the looks of it, shooter probably used a rifle, possibly an MK-12. Son of a bitch, that hurts. Chase leaned heavier onto Nixon. I tried not to smile, but it was the best damn part of my day seeing someone else get shot. Not because I wanted Chase to die, but because I could at least focus on something other than Mo and the fact that Sergio had touched her in a way that was too familiar, as if he'd touched her in that way before, repeatedly. We'll let you know what we find. The officer patted Nixon on the shoulder and walked back into the room. Well, I sighed, looking around at the guys. Clearly, we don't know how to do normal weddings. Everyone fell into comfortable laughter as we walked out of the building. The girls were probably halfway home by now, and freaking out if I knew them at all. Nixon! The same officer came running down the stairs, his chest heaving. The papers! He bent over and blew out a gutful of air. The ones signed by the judge.
Yes,
Nixon said impatiently. They're fake. He handed them over to us. I'll make copies and send them through the usual associates, but the wedding today, it wasn't real. My mind whirled with possibilities. Was the judge in someone's pocket other than ours? How the hell did that happen in our own city?
Thanks, Nixon nodded. Once we have the papers, we'll take it from there. Understand?
Yes, sir. Of course, sir. I'll let the chief know.
Well, Nixon cursed and kicked the wheel of his Range Rover. Will life ever be boring?
Bleeding, Chase panted. In case you guys were, worried, concerned. I mean, right, flesh wound, considering almost dying a few weeks ago, I got it. But it burns like hell, and I really, really need to make sure Mill isn't at the house ripping the curtains from the windows in a shitstorm of emotion because you sent her away, Nixon. At that, Nixon laughed.
When is Mill not pissed, Chase?
Chase smirked. Don't you worry about that.
Disgusting, I muttered. Says the soon-to-be father, Nixon said dryly.
I glared in Sergio's direction and answered, Right. Soon to be father. If he was bluffing about anything, he didn't have any tells. Instead, he simply met my stare with one of his own. One that told me I wasn't getting shit.
Chapter 10. Dogs can smell fear. So can people. Mo. My hands wouldn't stop shaking. I blamed it on the shooting. Since when have I ever been terrified of getting shot at? Never. I'd been around this life since as far back as I could remember. Funny how it wasn't the violence that caused me to tremble, but him. I wanted wine so badly it wasn't even funny. Irritated, I followed the girls into the kitchen and waited for the guys to get home. It was a tie between who I wanted to strangle first. Mill was stringing so many curses together it was hard to decipher if she was upset at the situation or at Chase. Trey spent her time soothing Mill while giving me the "Are you okay?" eyes. After about 10 minutes, the doors burst open and the guys barreled in. Chase stumbled a bit as Tex helped him into one of the chairs. My husband, God, it still sounded wrong, ran out of the room to grab our kid, while Nixon tore the rest of Chase's shirt away from his body. Mill? Chase clenched his teeth. I'm fine. You bastard! She punched him in his good arm. Stop taking bullets! Right. Chase snorted and lifted his head to the ceiling, closing his eyes. Because it was a choice. Well? Mill huffed. Damn it, Chase. Just try not to get shot every 2 weeks. It's irritating as hell. You're irritating as hell, he fired back. Good one. Must be losing your touch with all that blood loss. Mill, he warned. Then his eyes flashed as her breathing increased. Could you guys not eye-screw each other right now? Nixon swore and ran his fingers through his messy hair. It's going to be hard enough to get Chase to sit still, Mill. So if you could stop making it so that he wants to do you on the kitchen table, we'd all really appreciate that. Mill flushed and crossed her arms over her chest.
Sorry.
No, you aren't. Chase leaned forward and winked. She licked her lips. I groaned into my hands. The last thing I needed was to see how ridiculously happy they were.
Whoa!
Tex walked back into the room.
I leave, and things get more tense?
He snorted and put his hands on his hips.
That's a first.
Everyone!
Nixon held up his hands.
One thing at a time.
Tex, keep your head out of your ass. Pull the bullet out while I deal with the fake marriage contracts and murder. Sergio, can you?
I'll sew him up.
Sergio nodded.
Just another one of my many talents.
He winked at Trace and Mill.
I'm really good with my hands.
He turned his head slightly, briefly making eye contact with me before going over to the kitchen sink and turning on the water to wash up. The girls' mouths dropped open.
Oh, please,
Chase grumbled, sweat starting to pour down his face, most likely from the pain.
Tex,
Sergio ordered, his voice slightly accented, which I knew from experience happened only when he was under stress and not paying attention to his enunciation.
Could you grab the scalpel?
I hate this part.
Chase squeezed his eyes shut. Mill gripped his arm. Nixon was pacing back and forth, yelling into his phone. But all I was focused on was Sergio, as he very carefully made an incision next to the wound and began working. He was an artist. Since when had he become a surgeon?
I'm older than you guys,
he answered without looking up.
In case you haven't noticed that my balls actually descended.
Tex rolled his eyes.
And
Sergio made another incision.
I actually graduated at the top of my class and went to 2 years of medical school.
Was that before or after your parents went to prison?
Tex sang out with a forced smile, lifting his lips.
I mean, just curious about the timeline and all.
Hmm. Sergio placed the scalpel on the table and grabbed the tweezers.
Let me think. It was probably after your parents disowned you and before you killed your father. Yeah, how's that for a timeline?
His voice was so smooth that if you weren't listening, you'd think he delivered a compliment instead of an insult. Tex's jaw twitched.
Not now, Tex.
Chase winced and cursed violently under his breath, half in Italian, half in English.
Not while he has tweezers in my skin. Damn, that burns.
Sergio smiled with his lips, but his eyes remained viciously cold and emotionless. Almost done.
How old are you?
Mill asked, still not taking her eyes off of Chase.
Old?
Tex answered for him. After a few seconds, Sergio lifted his head and looked directly at me.
Old enough.
The room got really tense.
28.
Tex swore.
It's not like he's an elder or anything. Damn, Sergio, could you be any slower?
Sergio smirked, slightly lifting his head to the side to give me a knowing look.
I like to take my time with things.
My stomach fluttered and then clenched.
All good things.
Sergio squeezed the tweezers together and pulled slowly out of the wound.
Come with time.
When he dropped the bullet onto the table, he lifted his eyes for a second time and met mine. I didn't look away because I couldn't. I was hiding so much, and Sergio knew that.
He knew everything. When I finally broke away from his gaze, it was to meet Texas. He was furious, but what was worse, he was suspicious. And the last thing I needed was to put him back in the line of fire after all the things I'd done to keep him out of it.
Thanks.
Chase exhaled as Sergio wrapped his shoulder.
Of course.
Sergio grinned.
Tex! Nixon yelled from the other room. Get in here! Now!
When Tex didn't move, Sergio took it upon himself to make things worse. Damn him.
Run along, foot soldier. Go see what the boss wants.
With a snarl, Tex walked by Sergio, nearly knocking him over in the process, which, to be honest, wouldn't be hard because, again, Tex was huge, at least 6'4". And Sergio, though not small by any means, was only around 6'1". Chase let out a low whistle.
Damn, Sergio. Who pissed in your Cheerios this morning, huh?
Sergio watched Tex walk down the hall, then turned his full smile on everyone.
Off day.
Now that the drama was over, I just wanted to lie down. Preferably without Tex giving me crazy eyes or Sergio being suggestive. Slowly, I rose from my seat and tried to walk away.
Mo?
Sergio's smooth voice interrupted my escape. The room was quiet, so everyone had heard. It wasn't like I could run away and say I didn't hear him.
Yes?
I turned.
A minute?
Sure. I crossed my arms. His smile grew, making his features come alive. He'd always looked like he'd just walked off the cover of a GQ photo shoot. Dark straight hair, aristocratic nose, a side smile that melted people on the spot, and lush lips that made promises no girl should ever, ever take seriously.
Over here.
Gently, he grabbed my elbow and led me down the hall and around the corner where Nixon's room was, far away from the office where Tex and Nixon were currently yelling. I swallowed convulsively when he pressed me against the wall and leaned into me, his forehead touching mine.
Talk to me.
No. I licked my lips and averted my eyes.
Mo.
He tilted my chin towards him. His breath was warm, inviting.
You used to tell me everything.
That was when we were friends.
Damn his smile.
And we aren't friends anymore?
Really? I spat. Do friends treat each other like this? Hmm? Sergio's eyes darkened as he leaned in and brushed his lips against mine.
Hell no.
His voice was thick with desire.
I highly doubt I should treat my friends or associates, for that matter, the way in which I want to treat you.
I tried to fight the pull, but it was impossible. I didn't love Sergio, not like I loved Tex. But he'd picked up Tex's pieces when I was in desperate need of someone to clean up the mess. And he'd given me the one thing I'd been craving for years. Purpose.
Afraid all your friends will find out?
He whispered against my lips.
Afraid of all the little lies?
He licked my lower lip, then tugged it with his teeth.
Which lie, Mo? Which one are you most afraid of?
His hand moved to my neck as he slowly massaged the knots out. I swallowed and pulled back. My heart slammed against my chest. All of them, Sergio. I am afraid of all of them. A loud clamoring sounded to my right. And then, in a blur, Tex's fist went sailing by my face, landing a perfect blow to Sergio's jaw. He staggered backwards, his body slamming against the wall behind him as he finally slumped to the ground, disoriented as hell. Tex grabbed my hand and jerked me towards the master bedroom. He flung me inside, and the door banged shut behind him. I looked up just in time to see his hands reach for my body as he forcefully pushed me against that same door and then slammed his mouth over mine, his tongue not asking permission to enter into my mouth, but doing it with such force, such fluidity, that I let out a gasp and finally a moan. He didn't kiss like Sergio. He didn't kiss like anyone I'd ever known. My body arched towards Tex as he ran his tongue along the seam of my lips. He drew my bottom lip into his mouth with his teeth, then pulled back and plowed his fist into the door directly above my head. To the sound of cracking wood, I jumped a foot and skittered away as he barked, "Mine!" Then nearly took the door off the hinges as he pulled it open and stalked down the hall towards Sergio, who was now just getting up off the floor. It would have probably hurt less had Tex shot him. Sergio smirked as Tex made his way down the hall, his footsteps damn near breaking through the hardwood floors as he stomped. "You," he pointed at Sergio, "will not touch her." Sergio winked in my direction, and the man officially had a death wish. Shouldn't that be up to her? Who am I to deny her if she asks? She won't, Tex clipped. Believe me. But if she does, she won't. Tex's voice dripped with hatred. His hands shook at his sides. Where do you get off coming into my house, touching my woman? Actually, Sergio's smile grew. It's Nixon's house. And last I heard, she wasn't your woman. At least, not legally. Funny, does the son of the dead capo suddenly think he belongs? After all these years? Tex's face paled. It was a liver shot. A kidney shot. A low blow. Because I knew that deep down, Tex never felt like he belonged. Like he fit in. So maybe it's your turn to listen. Sergio pushed at Tex's chest. You have no one. Nobody. Your real family doesn't know what to do with you, and your new family's forced to claim you. And you're pissed because I kissed a girl I happen to like? Damn, boy. You may as well have peed on her. Would have been more subtle. But here's the thing. While your eyes drip with hatred, while you direct every single ounce of strength towards strangling the life from me, maybe you should pause and ask yourself, if she's really yours, why the hell was she kissing me back? I gasped, covering my mouth with my hands as shame washed over me. Tex sucked in a large breath, like he'd just gotten sucker-punched and wasn't able to exhale. Good talk, Sergio smirked. Now, if Nixon isn't busy, I should probably go help, you know, since we're actually family. With that, Sergio pushed past Tex and stalked down the hall, leaving me in a tense silence with Tex. Tex, I... Tex held up his hand.
Save it.
But you don't understand. I think if I explained... He let out a bark of laughter.
Explained what exactly?
Mo? He moved towards me, his eyes full of hurt.
How bad it sucks that while I'm pissed as hell that you put me in this position, I still wish it was really my child you were carrying. How now that I've seen you and Sergio together, all I keep wondering is what type of bastard doesn't take responsibility for his actions? Or how about this? I've been on my knees, bleeding out, apologizing, falling all over myself, willing to go to the depths of hell and back for you. And you thank me by kissing that asshole? Only a few feet away from me? Right. Okay, sure. You have the floor. Please, Monroe. Go ahead. Try to explain.
I opened my mouth. Nothing but a garbled cracking noise came out, making me sound more guilty than ever. I had nothing. His assumptions worked because they were so far from the truth. When I agreed to do what I was doing, I hadn't known the cost. All I could focus on was keeping Tex safe, keeping the family safe. But I'd had no idea what it would cost me. In a way, Sergio had made it too easy for me to keep lying, to keep everyone in the dark. You're right, I whispered. I'm sorry. You have to know how sorry I am. I begged him with my eyes. He looked away as if too disgusted to even make eye contact. I'm going out. Don't know when I'll be back.
Tex!
I gripped his arm.
It isn't safe. Safe?
He snarled, then threw his head back and laughed.
Right. And you're so worried about my safety?
His eyes narrowed in on my hand.
Let go, Mo. I'm serious.
I knew he wouldn't hurt me, but I was still terrified as I watched the muscles in his arm twist and expand. He was barely in control of himself. No. My voice quivered. He cursed and pried my hand away from his arm.
Do me a favor.
Anything.
Stop it.
His voice was hoarse.
Stop pretending to care, Mo. I can't, I just...
He shook his head.
I can't do this. Whatever this back and forth thing is, I can't do it. Hell, if you want Sergio, go to Sergio. Apparently we aren't even legally married.
What? Oh, no, 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 that was the deal. He shrugged.
You're free. Don't get me wrong, I'm a sucker for punishment. So I'll still do whatever it takes, but this, whatever this is between us?
He pressed his lips together.
It's done.
The jackhammer in my chest squeezed my lungs, making it impossible to breathe. As though he literally reached inside me, wrapped his hands around my heart, and squeezed until every last drop of blood pulsed out of it.
Chapter 11. Drinking the memory of someone away doesn't work. Tex. The door slammed behind me as I went to the garage and got into the Range Rover. The engine growled to life and I peeled out of the driveway. What really sucked? I was making my getaway in Nixon's SUV. Sure, I had my pick of any of the cars at his house, but the truth of the matter was this. They were his cars. His house. Could I afford my own shit? Hell yeah, I could, but what was the point? What was the point of anything? I buy an expensive-ass car for what purpose? I pushed down on the accelerator once I got onto the main road, the car increasing its speed until I was going around 100. My phone rang. What? I barked into it.
Tex!
Nixon's voice was sharp.
What the hell, man? We have shit to do.
You have shit to do. I have shit to forget. I pressed end and slammed the phone on the dash as I accelerated even more. I passed car after car, the speed doing nothing to make me feel better about the sinking feeling in my stomach, or even about the ache in my heart. Finished. I was finished with her. A man can only take so much, and I just hit my limit. Visions of Sergio's hands on her body, his mouth touching her lips, and the simple truth that she was given every opportunity to push him away, rather than hold him close. With a curse, I pulled into the parking lot of Slim, one of the bars I frequented. It was a hole-in-the-wall biker bar that had seen better days, but it was mine. Pathetic. The one thing I owned in this universe. and it was a shitty bar. I liked having my own space to interrogate, and it just so happened that alcohol came in handy when needing to clean up blood. Well, that and the loud music. Swear it would make a grown man cry to know how many people lost their lives, their freaking souls in that back room. I turned off the car and walked purposefully through the front doors, with every instinct on high alert. Too high, if you ask me. I sauntered over to the bar and slammed my hand onto it. Marco took one look at me and slid a bottle of Jack in my direction. Rough night. I snorted and took a pull directly from the bottle. Try rough existence. Need me to? No. I waved him off. I already knew where he was going with his question. He would ask if I needed him to take care of something. I'd either answer yes and slip him the name and address of that certain something, or I'd say no and we'd pretend like he didn't ask me in the first place. Being the abandonado's red-headed stepchild did have its perks. It meant I got to do things my way every damn time, as long as I got the job done. You need anything else? Let me know. Marco slapped the counter a few times with his dish towel and went over to his next customer. So, a sultry voice said from behind me, it's been a while. And it's going to be a lot longer, too, I said without turning around. Go to hell. Ouch. Wearing our bitch pants tonight, are we? Nails dug into my back. I could only imagine the slut thought it would be erotic, when really all I could focus on was the fact that I could peel each perfectly painted nail from her fingers without even blinking. Yeah, I was in a dark place if I was thinking of hurting a woman. I'd slept with her once and didn't even know her name, just that she frequented my bar and was easy. Go away. I took another swig. Fine. She pulled her hand back, leaving me alone again. Within 10 minutes, I'd had my fair share of the bottle, but not enough for me to forget Mo, or what she looked like in someone else's arms. Damn it. The house phone rang above the noise. Marco answered, and then eyed me across the bar and rolled his eyes, then made a shooting motion with his hand. Bastard probably had an assignment from Frank. Oh, right, another fun fact? I completed contracts from all three families. So I might not belong anywhere, but at least I was rich as hell and damn good at what I did. The bar fell silent, curious. I looked up at the door. Three men walked in. One had a cane, but it wasn't for walking, more like whacking if you get me, and not the good kind. The guys flanking him looked like they'd just got done doing steroids and needed a place to release all their tension. Their shoulders were huge, and they were at least a head taller than the rest of the group. The man in the middle paused, his eyes scanning the crowd before falling on me. A smile curved his lips as he started walking towards the bar. Well, shit. Either I was dying or he was. And, honest moment, I didn't care which way the tables turned. How sick was that? I needed a damn heart transplant, that's what I needed. Maybe if I had a new one, the old one would stop hurting so much. We finally meet, the man said, pulling out a stool next to me. Right, I snickered. I've been waiting for years to meet you, too. Tell me, what's Mom look like? Do I have her eyes? I've been dying to see my true family. Gosh darn it, this is the best day of my life. Can I call you Dad? The guy motioned to Marco for a drink. You are a smartass. Aw. I slapped him on the back, earning me a grunt from the other two men, who took a step towards us, but stopped when the man held up his hand. Thanks. That's like the nicest thing anyone's said to me all day. And I'll let you in on a little secret. I was having a kick-ass hair day, so I had all kinds of compliments. Clever. The man chuckled and ordered a whiskey on the rocks. My hair? I joked, trying to throw him off balance. Thanks, man. I mean, I don't swing that way, but I may make an exception if you keep complimenting me like that. Tell me. He still wasn't looking at me, but his side profile gave me all the information I knew. Long scar from his left ear to his nose, like someone had slashed his cheek. Salt and pepper hair. A fit body, probably around 5'10 and 175. His fingernails were clean, meaning he wasn't a made man. Most likely he ordered things to be done, and his posture screamed control. Slight accent. I needed to listen harder. Tell you what, I smiled, willing him to look at me so I could look into his eyes and see into his soul. That's what I did. I read souls. Not in a creepy way, but in a way that made me damn good at what I did. One look into someone's eyes and I knew. Unfortunately, it only worked with would-be killers. With Mo? Clueless. My instincts were always off with her. Always had been. Always would be.
Do you truly enjoy this little act?
What act?
This.
The man finally turned and pointed at my smile.
And do you think you could fool me, of all people?
Well, considering I don't really know who you are, I said with a shrug, I guess you have your answer. And honestly, I leaned forward so I was inches from his face. I don't give a flying rat's ass what you like or don't like, take it or leave it.
You should.
I should what? Grandpa?
You're funny. He chuckled, throwing back his drink. And you should care, that is.
Give me one good reason. I let my knife fall into my hands from my sleeve and hovered over his femoral artery, ready to cut within seconds.
Only a very desperate or very stupid man would kill me. Which are you, I wonder?
Taken aback that he even knew I had the knife hovering near his leg, I pulled back and answered honestly, a little of both.
This time, next month,
he finished his drink.
You'll be dead.
Cool. You telling me ahead of time so I can plan my funeral, or do you just like giving people good news? His cold gray eyes looked me up and down.
I expected you to be smaller. Your father, he was a small man.
Probably why I killed him. I hate small men. How tall are you?
Again, clever act. It would work on anyone but me.
Because you're stupid, or... He leaned forward. The knife dug into his thigh, but he didn't wince. Instead, he chuckled.
Don't you think your uncle should know these things?
Uncle? Wow! I laughed. That's rich. My family finally claims me after I kill the capo. Nice. Let me guess, I'm next on the hit list?
Funny that you didn't even know.
The man tilted his head.
Or maybe just sad.
Know what? I kept my smile firmly in place, even though I was so curious I itched to torture him so I could find out.
Your family, the ones you've been protecting, they've ordered a hit on you worth 10 million.
At that, I laughed.
You're a loose end,
my uncle smirked.
And we hate loose ends.
So, I'm a wanted man? Cool. Maybe they'll get my picture right this time when they send that text around. Last time, they had my hair so friggin' dark. Well, I mean, to be fair, the lighting was horrible, and...
Listen to me,
he sneered.
And listen very carefully.
His breath smelled like rum.
Kill or be killed. Those are your two options. Be who you were born to be, and the abandonados, the alferos, they will kill you. But if you decide to disappear... Then I'll pretend this little conversation didn't exist.
So, I laughed to cover my intense irritation, also knowing it would piss him off, possibly giving me more insight into his character.
Let me get this straight. You want me to be a good little boy, stay put, not talk, and not claim my birthright.
If I do all that, not only will my own family hunt me down, but my adopted family will as well, leaving me basically without anything. Am I right?
Yes.
Awesome, so here's the thing. I moved my knife lower and made a slice, cutting through his pants, then covering the cut with my right hand. With my left hand, I grabbed one of the limes from the bar and crushed it, allowing the drips to fall into the cut. He winced and tried to move out of my grip, but I had at least 50 pounds on him, so it was pointless.
I have no family. Never have, never will.
So when you threaten me, come at me with something bigger than that. Come to me when you're ready to kill me, not when you want to threaten me. Because next time I see your shit-eating face... I dropped more of the acidic fruit onto his cut. I won't just slice you here, I chuckled. I'll slice you everywhere, Uncle. But I'll keep you alive when I do it, and it won't be fruit but actual acid I drip into each wound until you beg for death. I have no family, and by the looks of it, you like it that way because it gives you adequate time to take over as capo. But this is where I want you to listen very carefully. His entire face was filled with rage. I leaned forward like I was going to kiss his cheek, give him the respect he deserved, and instead, I whispered in his ear. The next capo has to be strong enough not to piss his pants when someone a third of his age makes threats. I don't just own the families here in the U.S., and if you push me, I will step up and I will own the Campisi clan. I'll cheerfully take my place and make you look like the little pathetic bitch that you are. So if we're done here, why don't you run along, hmm? I reared back and slapped him on the face twice, then motioned for his two men to come help him up.
You're a stupid, stupid boy, my uncle spat.
Hey, I think there's a song with that title in it, I chuckled loudly, so pissed off that I was ready to pull my gun on him. We're done here. Oh, and next time you step into my bar, it better be with a bomb chained to your chest, or I'll kill you. I smiled viciously. Capiche?
Chapter 12. How do you miss someone who's turning into a stranger before your very eyes? Mo. According to the clock next to my nightstand, it was nearing 2 a.m., and Tex still wasn't back. I texted him a dozen times and even tried calling. Ridiculous. Was I really worried about a man that knew about 500 unique ways to kill a person? I mean, seriously. It was Tex. He was the guy that smiled while he pulled the trigger. But still, he was weak. He was weak, and I'd made him that way. And when he left, he was in bad shape. I shivered. Nixon was pissed at me, too. Actually, it seemed everyone was pissed at me. We had a dead body, a marriage that wasn't actually legal, and more questions than answers. The horrible part was that when Nixon asked me if I knew anything, I straight up lied to his face. Sergio had been in there. He'd watched me lie. He'd let me, the bastard. But he was doing his part too. Both of us were. I just wish it wasn't so damn hard to do the right thing. I'd always believed that if you chose others over yourself, you were rewarded. Never once did I understand the extraordinary sacrifice it was when you were asked to be selfless. My chest ached. I reached across the bed and grabbed Tex's pillow, holding it close to my chest, inhaling his scent like he was my drug. He'd been the only constant thing in my life, and I didn't want to live in a world where he wasn't annoying the hell out of me. Where he wasn't trying to crack a joke in order to make me laugh, when all I wanted to do was cry. The sound of a door slamming jolted me from my pity party. Tex. He was home. I just needed to see that he was okay. I just wanted to know he wasn't bleeding or dying. Quietly, I padded to the bedroom door and reached for the knob, only to have it pulled open. I staggered back and gaped. Tex stood there, shirt off, swaying on his feet, drunk as hell.
Mo.
He said my name like a curse, like he reserved it for the darkest pits of hell.
Why can't I be done with you? Why?
He pushed past me and stumbled onto the bed.
I can't quit.
He shuddered, his voice muffled by the pillow.
I can't quit seeing you when I close my eyes. I hate you so much, but not as much as I love you. I could never hate you as much as I love you. It's impossible, believe me.
Tex sighed and rolled over, his fists bawling as he hit the pillow.
I try every day.
Stunned,
I could only stand and wait for him to say something else. Instead, he fell into a fitful sleep and started snoring. With a sigh, I shut the door, walked over to the bed, and pulled the blankets over his muscled body. My heart was beating so loudly I was afraid it would wake him up. I wasn't sure if I was upset over what he'd said, or hopeful that the hate hadn't taken over just yet, meaning there was room for forgiveness, right? He stretched his hands above his head and then curled an arm underneath the pillow, making his bicep bulge to epic proportions. I gasped. He was too beautiful for his own good, and the crazy part? He didn't even know it. He'd always felt different than Nixon and Chase because his coloring was lighter. Instead of having dark hair, he had light brown hair with pieces of red sewn through, almost like highlights. His eyes were a crazy deep blue. Not a light blue, but a dark blue, like an ocean storm. When he was pissed, he could seriously give Poseidon a run for his money in the angry god look. Sighing, I pushed his hair away from his forehead and leaned down to kiss his cheek. The minute my lips grazed his skin, he grabbed my hand and had me flipped on my back, pressing my hips against the mattress. Tex hovered over me, his eyes blazing.
"I don't want to want you," he ground out slowly. "I don't want..."
His chest heaved. "Tex..." I cupped his face, warm tears sliding down my cheeks. "You should sleep."
"No time for sleep."
He moved off me anyways and laid his head on my shoulder.
"No time for sleep when you're about to die."
I froze. "You're dying?"
10 million.
He sighed.
"Insulting."
With that, he fell asleep. And I stayed up the rest of the night wondering if every sacrifice I'd made had been in vain, because they were still after him.
Chapter 13. We're only as strong as our boss is to other bosses. Period. Sergio. "So?" I asked, throwing my keys onto the table and reaching for a bottle of water.
10 million,
the voice said in a bored tone. I stared down at my phone and kept staring. 10 million? It had to be a joke. How insulting, not only to the rest of the families, but to Tex himself. Only 10 million? 10 million did not get us results. Blood? Maybe. Death? Absolutely. But results? Ones we needed in order to move on to the next step of the plan? It wouldn't happen, and it needed to happen. Otherwise, they would all die. I would die. There would be nothing left. A cleansing was coming. And I was doing everything I could to keep it from happening. But that's the thing about not existing, about being a ghost. Interfere too much? And people start to talk. Nixon might as well have been a detective with as many questions as he was firing at me. Why did I really go to the wedding? Why was I at his house? Why was I helping when I usually stay behind the scenes? What did I have to gain? I sighed, feeling more ancient than my 28 years, and glanced at my phone. Fine. We wait until it's higher.
But
that's all. I hit end. My screen immediately turned into the picture I'd kept of Mo. The one and only picture I'd snuck when she wasn't looking, which, when I thought about it, wasn't the most romantic thing in the world. But it was all I had. One picture. One night. The end. Funny, because she'd told me as much. But I hadn't believed her. I'd never experienced that type of attraction to another person. An attraction that's so strong that you end up doing stupid things. Like planning for the future. Mafia rule number one, don't plan. It's rare to experience a happy ending. 10 million. The number may as well have been written on my forehead. Damn, they were going to have to do better than that. I had two choices. Let the chips fall, or maneuver each chip for my own purpose. For the family, for Mo, for blood. The problem? I wouldn't come out looking like the hero, but the villain. In fact, I was pretty sure that if I took that step, if I stopped hiding in the shadows, I'd end up shot. Dead. Buried. I looked back down at my phone, my heart hammering in my chest. If I did nothing, she was as good as dead. They all were. It would only be a matter of time before things came to a head. Maybe not this month, maybe not next month. Hell, it could be a year before things progressed. But again, the ending was always the same. Mo, I whispered, touching the screen with my fingers, caressing the glass because the last time I touched her face, she'd pulled away, taking my heart with her. The only time she'd given in to me, given in to us, was because she was angry at him. I was her best defense then. I was her best defense now. Damn it. I closed my eyes and allowed myself a brief moment to imagine what freedom would be like. I could run away, knowing that each step I took was stained with the blood of my family, of the girl I've loved since I was 5. So, with shaking hands, I lifted the phone, dialed Nixon's number, and said the words I never thought I'd utter again.
What?
Nixon barked into the phone.
Everything good on your end?
I'm in.
Sergio,
I'll lock up everything tonight, meet you at the house, stay as long as you need. Time to retire the ghost, brother. Nixon cursed. The phone went silent for a minute.
You do this. You make yourself a target. You've been in hiding for a reason, Sergio.
Let me worry about it. My stomach clenched.
I'm back. Get ready. A shitstorm's coming, and I'm pretty sure the wind's blowing straight from Sicily.
Right. Nixon sighed.
I'll be waiting at the house.
Okay. I pressed end, slowly dropping my phone to the counter. It rang once, twice, 3 times. I answered on the 4th, not bothering to say hello. A voice rasped in my ear.
I will come for you. I promised I would if you ever showed your face again.
Fine, I barked, as dread filled my stomach. Damn, I worked way too hard to protect a family who hated me so much.
What's the worst that could happen, Pops? I get shot?
No sooner had the words left my mouth than the mirror in front of me shattered, falling to the ground in slices of discarded glass. A second gunshot rang out, ripping the leather from the couch. I sighed, bored with his games already. And funny, they'd just begun.
Tell Don that his shot is off by a 1/2 inch. I'm still standing. Oh, and next time you shoot at me, at least hit something worth shooting. I hate wasting ammo. So should you, considering I have all the family money and you have, what, $5 to your name? Then again, that's what happens when you make a deal with the feds. Tell Ma hi. Oh, and Pops?
My father cursed wildly on the other end.
Do not call me that!
Good to hear from you. I grinned and ended the conversation. Yeah, I'd made my choice. It was probably the wrong one. But hell, at least it would be entertaining. The house was silent as I locked up, setting the security cameras so I could monitor what went on in my absence. I grabbed the keys to my BMW coupe and felt nothing. No remorse, no fear. But perhaps, I looked down at my phone, a bit of regret. Regret because she wasn't mine to protect. But I was going to do it anyway. Regret because I was going to make her life hell by trying to prove to her that I could be good for her. After all, She didn't even realize that Tex was already a dead man, regardless of whether the plan worked out or not. He would always be a Campisi.
Chapter 14. Expectations are always greater than we realize. Tex. Sunlight streamed through the curtains, damn near frying me to death and not making my headache any better. Cursing, I rolled to my side, trying to figure out where the pounding was coming from and who I had to shoot to make it stop. I officially had a hangover from hell. As I rubbed my eyes, I glanced at the nightstand. A glass of water was waiting, along with two painkillers. Mo wasn't in the bed with me anymore, not that I blamed her. Lying next to her was torture anyway, feeling the curves of her body. Even when I was too drunk to do anything about it, sheer hell. Swear, I almost grabbed my gun and ended myself right then and there. But Mo had given me such a loving look, and though I pretended to pass out, she touched my face. Damn, we were bad for each other. Like an addiction we couldn't quit. I wanted to put her on the shelf and walk away, but that's the thing about perfection. The sinner in you wants it so desperately, hoping it will make all the dark go away, that instead of walking away like you should, you take it, you stare at it, and you devour it until there's nothing left. I wondered if Mo realized how much I was doing that to her, how I used sex with her as a way to make myself feel whole, less tarnished. Groaning, I rose to my feet, popped the pills in my mouth, and slowly made my way towards the door. I opened it softly and glanced down the hall. Sergio was standing in the kitchen talking to Nixon in hushed tones. Mo was in the corner eating cereal, her eyes about as big as the Cheerios she was trying to choke down. Great. Someone probably died. Cursing, I stomped down the hall, fighting the urge to ram my body into Sergio's, causing him massive blood loss, and grabbed a bowl from the cupboard. "Someone's not a morning person," Sergio said in low, clipped tones. The fact that the bastard was still speaking with his slight accent, which frankly made him sound like a giant ass, didn't help matters. "Yeah, well," I stretched my arms above my head. I had these weird nightmares where I was holding a really sharp knife to someone's neck, and then all of a sudden he'd piss his pants. I never did see the guy's face, though. He screamed like a bitch, had a slight accent, 6'1", with the tattoo of a cross on his left hand. Sergio rolled his eyes. Nixon glared at me. Mo coughed next to me. "What?" I shrugged. "I can't share my hopes and dreams with you guys?" I poured the cereal into my bowl. "Some family."
10 million, Sergio said smoothly. "Makes you feel like less of a man, doesn't it? To think that's the price of your measly little life. Hell, last year, a made man went down for 12.
It's too early for me to kill you. I yawned and poured some milk into my cereal.
"You think I would let you?"
Sergio chuckled, sounding amused as hell. "I think you'd have no choice." I chomped down on a bite of cereal, the crunch the only sound in the kitchen except for Nixon's teeth clicking against his lip ring. For whatever reason, he knew this was my battle, not his.
"And 10 million is still 10 million. Think of all the surgeries you can pay for after I rearrange that pretty face, hmm?"
I pointed my spoon at him. "Now it doesn't sound so bad." Sergio smirked. His eyes roamed from me to Mo, and then back to me.
"It's cute, really, how you can't really take a hint. All brawn, no brains. Isn't that what people say?"
"Girls," Chase walked into the room and yawned. "Stop fighting or Mill's gonna come out here with a gun. The woman's exhausted, let her sleep."
"Maybe if you didn't keep her up all night,"
I laughed. Chase held up his hand.
"So dehydrated, taking a piss was like trying to find water in the Sahara." "Details I didn't need to know,"
Nixon piped up.
"Ever." "You guys always talk about your women like this?"
Sergio asked, looking around the room. "Actually," Mo said with a sigh, "this is tame."
I grinned. "Sharing is caring. No wonder people keep trying to kill you guys off. No respect."
Sergio tilted his head at Nixon.
"So, are we in agreement?"
About no respect? Nixon crossed his arms. About me staying at the house.
Whoa!
I pushed out my chair and rose to my feet, my hands clenching at my side.
What the hell, Nixon?
Yeah.
Nixon broke eye contact with me and shook Sergio's hand. But the rules apply to you just as much as they apply to Tex or any single guy. Lay a hand on my sister without her permission, and I cut it off.
You didn't cut off Tex's hand?
Sergio pointed out, a smug grin plastered across his shit-eating face.
No,
I rolled my eyes. He just shot me at point-blank range. But hey, maybe you'll get lucky and get to choose when the time comes. Sergio threw his head back and laughed. I pulled up the sleeve of my shirt, showing him my wound. He stopped laughing. Nixon crossed his arms.
We understand each other?
Sergio whistled.
Damn, Nixon, you're a scary son of a bitch, you know that?
First compliment of the day.
Nixon shrugged and gave me a pointed look.
Tex, we need to talk.
Dun, dun, dun,
Chase sang. I smacked him on the back of the head and followed Nixon into his office, wishing like hell I knew what had crawled up his ass and taken root. The man never spoke to a member of the elect away from the other members, meaning I was in deep shit. Fantastic. I pasted a grin on my face and took a seat on one of the leather chairs, propping my hands behind my head, trying to look relaxed when, really, I was a bit worried he was going to shoot me again.
The marriage.
Nixon licked his lips and pulled out a few sheets of paper.
Wasn't made legal.
He handed the forged documents over to me.
On top of that, it was never filed.
Sergio's already forged new documents that have been filed with the state. His eyes flickered down to the floor.
Now that I've thought about things, I don't know if it's in Mo's best interest to marry you regardless of what you did to her.
The room started going black. I tried to remain calm. What exactly was he saying?
But,
Nixon paced in front of me, his fingers tapping against his thighs as he walked back and forth across the dark wood floor.
It's probably in your best interest to be tied to us. 10 million,
he said with a smirk.
Tell me you didn't laugh when you heard it.
My ass off. I gave him the answer he wanted, when really I'd been more hurt than anything. Not that it matters, they won't get me. Nobody can touch me.
Just because you're a Campisi doesn't mean nobody can touch you, which is why I want you guys to pretend to be married. As far as everyone knows, it's real. The documents will be filed, protecting both of you. But in the end, it gives Mo an out once all this dies down.
An out? I repeated. Nixon pinched the bridge of his nose and licked his lips, staring at the door.
Love. At least give her a chance to find someone to love. Someone who won't rip her heart out, stomp on it, then try to put it back together again. She deserves that.
And I can't give her that? Nixon studied me.
I don't know. Can you?
Nightmares flooded my vision. Blood, death, death and more death. And then there was Mo. The only perfect thing in my life. The only constant. I studied Nixon right back. He was nervous, upset, fidgety. He never fidgeted. And he always made eye contact, but he kept blinking and looking at the floor, then back at the door, then back at the floor. Finally, he leaned back and touched his face again. He was freaking crumbling right in front of me.
You're stuck, I said softly. Protect me or protect Mo. Right.
Nixon shuddered.
Unite you guys and...
You can say it. My heart dropped to my stomach. It's not like I don't know what you're thinking right now.
And what's that?
Nixon's jaw cracked.
You can't trust me,
I whispered.
Not anymore, that is. Regardless of Mo being pregnant, you can't trust me because I'm a Campisi, and eventually it will be time to take my place in the hell.
My hands started to shake.
And damn if you don't want me to take Mo along for the ride.
Hell, I don't want to take her along for the ride, but I would, because I'm a selfish bastard.
She's innocent,
Nixon shook his head. Can you honestly say that you can love her? Protect her from that existence? From that bloodline? In the end, would you choose the family over her? We both knew the answer, because as much as we loved our women, we always chose what was best for the family. It's what a boss did. It's what the capo did. If it was my men stuck in a warehouse full of enemies, or Mo at home with a gun to her head, I'd sacrifice her to save them. Because a family is only as strong as the boss, and if the boss is weak, the family crumbles. I see, I finally managed to say. My voice was low, hoarse from the emotion I was trying to hold inside. Or maybe it was just the anger coursing through my body, making me want to punch something. That something being Nixon. Anything else, boss? Stay alive. Nixon's eyebrows shot up as he gave me a stiff nod. And maybe things will turn out. You never know. Right. I ground my teeth together. And maybe one day butterflies will take over the world and replace guns. As I tried to walk by Nixon, he gripped my arm and said in a low voice, Never lose hope that things will one day be different. I snorted and jerked my arm out of his grip. The difference between me and you? I lost hope the day I was born. I don't believe in hope. Life and death. And love? Nixon angled his head, his eyes digging as if trying to look into my soul. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You get one chance, and if you screw it up, rarely does the boat come back around again.
Chapter 15. Nobody ever said protecting others at your own expense was easy. Mo.
Well, that was fun.
Chase elbowed me and offered a sympathetic smile. If the guy was trying to keep me from sobbing in my bowl of Cheerios, he was doing a really crappy job. Smile, Mo. I offered a creepy, tooth-filled smile. Chase winced.
Maybe next time, huh, sexy?
I rolled my eyes and placed my elbows on the table. Chase was either the worst brother in the world or the best. Ever since we'd found out how messed up our bloodlines really were, meaning our family tree freaking pretzeled together, I thought of him as more of a brother than a cousin.
Things will get better.
He sighed, patting my head. Just... I waved him off. No more talking. Talking helps.
It's like free therapy.
He stole a bite of my Cheerios. I stared him down. He took another bite.
Chase!
I snapped, irritated.
Get your own damn Cheerios!
He took another huge bite. Milk ran down his chin.
See? Made you react.
You can thank me later. For putting me in a pissy mood? I argued. Chase got up and gave my shoulders a quick squeeze.
Why don't you go do something normal today, Mo? Take the girls. Go shopping or something. After all, you're a married woman now.
Hell, go spend some of Tex's millions, he's good for it. In fact, the more I think about it, the happier I get.
Go to Victoria's Secret, prance around in front of him, then say something like, no touching.
Man, the guy would shit himself.
Wow,
Tex grumbled, walking into the room. Teaching my wife ways to torture me.
Thanks, Chase. But she does that by just breathing the same air and refusing to make eye contact with me.
Whoa! Chase held up his hands.
Shit just got tense. I'm out. But remember what I said, Mo.
He winked and punched Tex in the shoulder before walking out of the room. Tex stared at me, his deep blue eyes swirling with anger. I took a tentative step back, trying to protect myself.
Do you really think I would hurt you?
He asked in a low voice. I shrugged. You've been slamming a lot of doors. A smile appeared, then disappeared.
Yeah, well, the doors deserve it.
Because?
Easy.
He took a step towards me. They block my view of you.
And my number one obsession is your safety.
Air whooshed out of my lungs.
Right. Go shopping.
What? My head jerked to attention. Are you serious?
I never joke about clothes.
Tex smirked, humor returning to his eyes.
Or wine. You know this about me, Mo.
I smiled back at him, feeling a bit lighter in the chest. He took another step. We were close enough to touch. Exhaling, he reached out and tilted my chin towards him. His touch burned me, creating a need so possessive that my entire body started to shake. Shop. Relax. Take the girls, he whispered. Enjoy yourself and know that I'll be here when you get back.
But, Mo!
Tex's grip tightened on my chin. I'll send some men with you. You'll be fine. Safe. And I'll be here taking care of business. His eyes flickered to my lips. Before I could stop myself, I kissed him. Our mouths collided. Tex lifted me into the air, growling as his hand slid into my hair, giving it a little tug so that he could kiss down my neck. When his mouth found mine again, he broke off the kiss with a curse, taking a step away, his chest heaving. I'm sorry, I murmured, mouth swollen and eyes filling with tears.